Hello and welcome to episode 16 of Zion's Finest. We are going to be bringing you a kind of a different episode today. We're going to be talking a little bit more about list building, but more focused on specific units. I'm joined today or tonight by JK and Steven.
Hey.
Hello.
What we're going to do is each of us is going to take a unit and talk about its strengths and weaknesses, like list building around it. Some units that are good, but not necessarily the best OP units. We're not going to talk about Han and Vader because... or IG, because the thing with Han, Vader, and IG is you just put them in your list and you win. They're really awesome. But just some quick introductions. First off, we'd like to thank everybody for giving us reviews on iTunes. We've been getting some awesome reviews, and we love them, every single one of them. We'd love even more. Any 5-star reviews, any other reviews with feedback, we'd love it. Also, if you want to join us on the Slack channel, send an email to our Gmail account. We would love to get you. We've got a lot of people on, and we're always having a lot of awesome conversations about list building. One other thing is that one of the Slack members, his name's Brett Kelly, he won regionals. We talked about his list a few months ago. He's started a Twitch channel. That's twitch.tv. So you go to twitch.tv/Brett P. Kelly is his address. And he has got commentary games where he's doing on Vassal, online Imperial Assault Vassal games. They are awesome. He knows his stuff, obviously. He's won a regional, and he's a really good player. And he knows things to highlight, things that are really important, like when players make decisions that are maybe suboptimal, he can point them out. And it's awesome because he's not playing, he's not like under the pressure, so he's just able to like step back and say, okay, that was maybe a mistake, he was maybe thinking about something else. It's awesome. I learned so much from watching his commentaries. But anyway, that's it for introductions. What we're going to do is each of us has picked out a unit that they're going to talk about. We're going to start with JK, move on to Steven, and then I will conclude, and hopefully everyone can learn something from this. So take it away, JK.
Alright, so I'm going to talk about Sentry Droids. If you guys remember my first regional, the Denver regional podcast, I ran two sets of them. They are a two set Imperial unit. They cost 10. They're 5. Basically, they cost 5 each. They have 8 health. Roll a black die in defense. Their attack is green, green, yellow, so it's very surge driven. They have a surge for damage, surge for pierce 2, surge for 2 accuracy, which is really cool. And then they have two different shots, essentially. One of them is an up-close shot, which is multi-fire. It's performed 2 attacks. Each attack has to have a different target, and you apply -1 damage to each attack. I'll talk about... get more into that in just a second. The other is a charge shot, which has a single attack, but it gives you +2 accuracy. And then they also have targeting computer, so you can reroll any one of your dice. The biggest strength to the E-sentries is they are a sniping unit. Unfocused, they still can shoot pretty far. So their charge shot, your lowest shot is going to be 5 range away, and at 5 range you're going to be doing 6 damage. You're rolling 6. That's just like how the dice break out. You're doing 6 damage to it. Realistically, you're probably expecting some kind of a 2 accuracy on green, 1 accuracy on green, and then a surge on your yellow of some sort. So you're just the regular charge shot attack is probably going to hit you about 8 range away, which is just awesome. The other thing is they're super consistent with that targeting computer. When I ran them, I would more often than not reroll the yellow one because my greens would give me what I needed. I don't think I ever missed range. Not during the regional. I have once or twice outside of it. Super good range shots, and they can deal damage. And since there's 2 of them and they pierce 2, it can kind of chew through Zillow a little bit. It's not going to go all the way through it because you only get one shot, or if you're just running one set of them, you're only going to get 1 through on Zillow. But if you have anything backing it up, it's going to help a lot. The weaknesses of Sentry Droids: multi attack. If you can get in there and you're really in the fray with people, multi attack can do good things. The issue is, or multi fire. The issue is their 8 health for a 5 cost unit really gets killed pretty quick, especially if you're in there close. And anyone who's played against Sentry Droids knows that Sentry Droids can mess your day up, and so they attack Sentry Droids. They become the focus, and if you lose one of them, that's a lot of you. That's 1/8 of your list down. You're normally going to get some kind of attack off, but that's the biggest weakness of them. Every once in a while, you can kind of flub on dice just by, like, you can get a damage. Like if you roll a damage and a couple surges on either one of your green or your yellows, you can do a little. You can low end a little bit where you're getting only 3 or 4 damage in. But realistically, you're pretty much expecting to get about 6. That's the general idea. Like, their biggest weakness is if they don't have someone in front of them to take damage, to be another focus of them, they're just going to die. And that was the biggest weakness of my list in Denver. Not actually in Denver, because they did pretty well there. But after I've played other lists after them, like I played different things, I learned that once people realize what they could do, when they're the cornerstone of your list, you can't protect them enough. Two lists that I've been looking at for the Sentry Droid that I think is really good. One of them is the Scum list, and that's using IG-88. So you go IG-88, Sentry Droids, and then you can fill in with whatever you want. Rebel Care Package. The one I made last night has Onar in it. I had BT in it for a second. So like the list I made was IG, Sentry Droids, Elite Jawa, C-3PO, Onar, Gideon, and an Alliance Smuggler, just for objective control, because I have a free temporary Alliance that I can go with. And the idea is, you can sort of play two different ways. Since IG has such good range, you can kind of peek IG out and have Sentry Droids follow him, and you're just shooting, and you're being able to focus the Sentry Droids, and you can shoot really far with them. And so people have to get into your grill, and when people get into your grill with IG, they're just kicking your butt. IG is going to do his work because everyone knows what IG is. The other one that I kind of made is an Imperial list, and it plays off the strength and the weaknesses, and it's 2 Elite Sentry Droids, 2 Elite Riot Troopers, and 2 Imperial Officers. And the idea of it is you kind of have two sets of moving tanks where you have the two Riot Troopers go one way, 2 go the other way, and you have the Sentry Droids following them. So you can't really ignore the Riot Troopers, or they're going to do damage to you. They're going to weakness you. And then the Sentry Droids can do a lot more stuff to you as well. And then the Sentry Droids can sit back a little bit, maybe even sit on objectives or whatnot, take those long shots, and people have to chew through the Riot Troopers. And you have a little bit more synergy because you can get those Trooper cards. I mean, one of the big issues with the Sentry Droids is they're not hunters, and so they don't have great cards. So some of the cards you want to make sure you're focusing on are the Call of the Vanguard, because they fall into that category, so it's a free attack. That's the one that lets you take an attack at the start of a round.
Which cannot be that can't be your multi-fire or your charge shot. It's just an attack.
Correct. That's one thing you need to make sure you do is you don't get any accuracy on that one. But you're still probably okay, depending on where you are.
Sure. I mean, you're performing a move and an attack. So.
For sure. Yeah, you're going to get there. Covering fire, I think, is really good for these guys, especially if you can get a first stun off. So covering fire is a 3-cost card. Use the start of their round, and then during that round, each of your troopers gain surge to stun. If the target was already stunned, you can apply +2 to the attack results. If you can do that with multi-fire, and you have 2 sets of elite sentries, where you're shooting one, stunning them, like your first one goes and stuns 2 people, then your second one goes and he has basically a surge for +2 and a surge for +1. You can do a stupid amount of damage. And if you're playing with e-jets or whatever, you're having 8 different attacks that can be covering fire that can add stun to it. I don't know. I haven't played with it extensively, like a ton, but I really like the idea of covering fire for that. Grenadier, if those are your only troopers, you want to avoid it, because really you don't want to be within 3 spaces of someone. If you're within 3 spaces of someone, you probably screwed something up. You want to stay back. You want to let them come to you. Shared experience is huge for them, as you know, with every other droid. You want to be able to grab any focus you can, take your shot, focus, and have another one for the next shot. Blitz is a card I ran in my list that I almost never used with Sentry Droids. You will never, I don't want to say never ever, but I don't think of one time in my regionals run that I actually used Blitz on a Sentry Droid because I needed a surge. Because you just have so many of them. You may need it, but you're getting, I would almost get all 3 surges every time. One card that I put into the list was Marksman, One of the reasons Marksman is kind of good for the Sentry Droids is that multi-fire. Because you have to do two different targets, if you want to shoot one, you can shoot a guy and then shoot a guy behind them. And so you can get two attacks off because of it. Or you can just shoot down the line, pick off a C-3PO or something along those lines. And then every other normal droid card is basically in there. But that's basically what you're looking at when you're looking at Sentry Droids. Use them as snipers, I think, is their best way to use them. They're a little squishy, but if you can get off two, three good attacks, their firepower and their range is just about as good as anything out there.
And I don't know if JK said it, but their attributes are Trooper, Guardian, and Droid. So it imposes a little bit of constraint in terms of like what you can and can't use them for. Like you said, they're not hunters, which is kind of a problem in terms of allowing them to do spike damage. But, you know, they still have the Trooper ability and Droid ability, which are great, great classes right now.
Yeah, another card is Concentrated Fire. If you have them, that extra red dice, if they're focused, you're then rolling red, green, 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 yellow.
That's insane.
And
with the reroll.
You can just about do 10 damage from 10 to 12 spaces away with that.
That's disgusting. Disgusting. Yeah. Steven, do you have any thoughts?
Well, I was just thinking, if you dropped Blazin with your sentries and you gave them Hidden when your opponent played command cards, and they're shooting back like 8 spaces, and you say, oh, by the way, I'm going to make him Hidden, now it's 10.
That's true. I've actually played with that, with giving them the cross-training, just because you take that first attack with your black dice, and then from then on you roll your white dice and hope for the dodges, and then you have your stuff like that. But that is an interesting with the Hidden.
I do really like that. I mean, I feel like it's making a figure that's probably maybe a point, half a point overcosted and giving it another point, but it could pay off. And obviously, if you're going to run Blaze, then it could really pay off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was going to say, it's interesting that the regular Sentry Droids, when you look at them next to Elite Weequays, they're actually very, very similar. They both roll green, green. They've got Surge. If you do Charge Shot, they've got the +2 accuracy like the Weequays. They get a reroll. Instead of +2 damage, they've got a +2 for a Surge. Their accuracy's a little bit less. And they've got one less health. But the big difference is you can't focus them with Jabba. And
yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And Hunter cards.
And Hunter cards. Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge.
But yeah, I think regular sentries may one day have a little bit of a niche. I mean, who knows what comes down the line. But they're not a terrible figure. That Surge for 1 damage as opposed to 2 is hurtful for it, though.
Yeah.
Wait a second. So the regular sentries, the only difference is that they have got 3 less health. Ooh, that is significant. They're lacking a yellow die, and they can only Surge for +1 accuracy.
Correct.
Yep. Everything else is the same.
Yep.
That is interesting. I'd have to... I mean, I think that they have 5 health for 6 points. That's pretty rough, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's right on line with Stormtroopers.
Yeah, exactly.
If you look at Elite...
Who never see play.
E-Stormies are essentially that exact same thing with slightly worse dice, frankly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're definitely better than Elite Storms, but...
Yeah,
that's a good point. Cool. Very cool. Well, that is awesome. I would like to say that the first time you play against Sentry Droids... Elite Sentries, you're going to be very surprised to how far away they can hit you. And I feel like their problem is that because of how expensive they are, you almost got to go not quite all in on them, but it's very tough to... You can't just toss them in. You do have to kind of build around them a little bit. And they really need frontliners who can hold down your opponent while they're doing pickoffs, because they can pick off from crazy range, like JK's saying. But
I think Paul Heaver ran them with Vader,
which is an awesome.
Yeah. Which is really interesting. I'm curious, because he didn't win his regional, from what I remember, but I know he did fairly well.
Yeah.
And so it's a list that I'm actually kind of curious as to how that would work long term.
Yeah, that would be awesome. We should ask him about that. I mean, Paul Heaver is a tactical genius, so
yeah.
I'm sure he was playing up from whatever his list was at. But yeah, that would be awesome. That'd be awesome to see what he says. Okay, Steven, take it away.
All right, so I'm going to talk about the Claudite Shapeshifter. This is probably my favorite unit from the most recent wave and one of my favorite units. So the Elite Claudite is 6 points, a Hunter Spy, 8 health, 4 speed, black defense die, and rolls red, green, yellow. The regular is 4 points, 6 health, and its attack is just a red, green. And both of them have the shape and the shift abilities. So at the beginning of the game, you get to put a form card onto them, and at the start of each round, you can switch it for a different form card. So the three forms are Street Rat and Scout and Senator. And so going into each of those, so the Street Rat has a surge ability called Assassin's Blade. And after you attack, you get to choose an adjacent hostile figure and you get to roll a red die and just deal whatever damage is showing to that figure. And then they have Fleet. At the start of your activation, you gain 2 movement points. So I really like the Street Rat form a lot because it's good for... I find it really good for mid-game. If you have a focused Claudite, basically you can dive in and you're essentially rolling red, red, green, green, yellow on your attack. Their surges are not good. The only surges that the Street Rat has is Surge for +1 damage and Surge to gain 1 damage token. So basically, you're just putting out the damage that you roll, and one Surge becomes like 1 damage. But still, you're rolling, you're essentially doing a 5 dice attack. And, you know, if you happen to kill before you do the Assassin's Blade, you can roll a red die and kill something else. I also really like to... if you're playing like against a Palp Vader or Palp Jets Vader, often their figures are relatively close together. So it's not, unless they're playing to kind of spread out, you can usually dive your Claudite in and make the power attack on something else and then stab 2 or 3 damage into Vader.
Yeah, which is good.
And the 2 movement points is pretty good because you can, I mean, essentially, they can move 10 or move 6 and still attack. Or, yeah. So, I really like the Street Rat. It's good for mid-game after, like, you're in the fray. It also gives them a boost if you want them to get out of there and get an objective or something. So, then they've got the Scout form. Scout form has Rifleman. And so, you switch out one of your red dice for a blue die when you attack. And then they have Priority Target. Figures do not block line of sight. They have built-in +2 accuracy, surge for pierce 2, and a surge for +1 damage, +2 accuracy. So basically with the Claudite, you have straight guaranteed range of 5, but on average you're getting at least 8 accuracy with priority target. So one of the really good things about the Scout form is killing C-3PO. Like, if they've got C-3PO in the back with, you know, giving Han that extra surge, you can just pick him off really easy. And since you have priority target, you can use element of surprise and just remove his die and dealing 4 damage.
Get the guaranteed kill.
Yeah. Yep. Guaranteed kill. Boom. Dead C-3PO. Which is always good.
Yep.
Because C-3PO cannot go on the land.
Yeah.
No.
He can't.
He should be able to.
Oh, yeah. That's all we need. Another figure that can go on the lam.
Or just, like, fall over. C-3PO's signature card should be trip, and it's just, like, on the lam.
Perfect.
And then, so, I guess I did the forms in reverse order of how I usually play them. But Senator is pretty much always my starting form, and I feel like it's pretty solid to always be your starting form. The Senator has, for an action you can conspire, roll your attack pool +1 yellow die for each surge result to a maximum of 3. You or an adjacent friendly figure gains 1 power token. And then they've got built-in +1 accuracy, surge for damage, surge for recover 2, and surge for gain 1 power token. So overall, I think the Senator is the best form. Round 1, you can just drop 2 or 3 unless you roll bad, because you're rolling 2 yellows, a red, and a green, so your chance of getting at least 2 surges is pretty high. But you can pass out power tokens to yourself or to nearby units. But I think one of the biggest things about the Senator is, so Recover 2 isn't like the best ability, except I feel like on the Claudite, it makes a huge difference because they're spies. And so that allows you to intelligence leak their two or three cost card and then immediately make an attack and recover that damage.
It's huge. I think that's huge, especially if you get it round one.
Yeah.
And you can just take a Nalhutta shot across the map without, it doesn't, obviously you don't even care if you make accuracy. Yeah. Yeah. And then you're able to recover two of the damage. It's so good.
Yeah. For example, in a game I was playing with this against a Chewbacca, I drew intelligence leak, and round one, I intelligence leaked their debts repaid, and then able to recover the damage. Yeah. Yep.
And there's nothing they can do. There is nothing the Chewbacca player can do about that.
Yep.
Because they have to take the card into their hand.
Yeah.
So that sucks super bad.
So big strengths of the Claudite is they're super flexible. Like with those three form cards, if they can snipe, they can be a support unit, they can, you know, they can heal themselves, or they can just dive in and be a super nasty knife fighter. I've had an elite Claudite one-shot a Davith. And so they're hunters, which, you know, pretty much the best command cards in the game. And then they're spies. And even if you're not running spy cards, your opponent has to be leery of spy cards if you've got a Claudite. Yeah, so they're really good support units. I like to run them just in, like, classic scum hunters. I find that Claudites are really good with Vinto. Because Vinto's kind of like a snowball. Like, once he gets his hide going, he's a lot better. And so if you drop double surge tokens onto Vinto, now his first turn, he rolls in with, you know, green, blue for his first rapid fire, and you can drop a surge token and almost guarantee that you're going to get the hide. And so now you're going to have one surge on every attack for pretty much the rest of the game. So that's pretty huge. Having run Vinto a lot more without the Claudite, since I've stopped using the Claudite as much, I really miss those surge tokens on Vinto. Also, Greedo, all of Greedo's surges are good, and so dropping in the surge tokens on Greedo. Also, dropping evade tokens onto units like Weequays that have the potential of getting one-shotted, if you can, you know, if it's like from another Weequay or something, and you can use that evade to stop a couple damage from coming through and make it so a Weequay now takes two attacks instead of one to kill, is also pretty huge for survivability of your units.
That's huge.
I think that's really huge, especially with Vader meta, whenever that is around. Because if you can drop an evade on any unit that's going to get close to Vader, you have that chance to save a Pierce 3, because you're never expecting more than one surge with Vader. And if you can do that, that's basically three damage you're preventing.
Yeah. So weaknesses of Claudites, they only have 8 health, and it's 6 points for 8 health. And 8 health is not a lot for one unit that's 6 points. Once they get in the fray, they tend to get killed very quickly. Also, there aren't a ton of scum spy units that see play. And so if you're only running one Claudite and you're running their spy cards, sometimes your Claudite just dies before you draw the spy cards or before you can use them. And now you're just getting wasted cards. That could have been hunter cards that worked for everyone in your list.
Wouldn't you recommend, though, if you're running a double Weequay, Claudite, Vinto, Onar, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you recommend maybe just only taking intelligence leak? Like, what other spy cards would you take?
I would probably just run Intelligence Leak. I've toyed with the idea of taking Comms Disrupt just for the fact that you could Comms Disrupt their negation when they negate your take initiative. But I don't
know. That's a lot to combo, though. That's
right.
Especially, hunter smugglers where you're already starting it. Basically, your base hunter smuggler list comes with 11 points of command cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. So,
and you should be including Devious Scheme. So, I mean, you're...
Right.
Realistically, like, you don't need to worry about... you need to worry about you getting negation as opposed to them getting negation most of the time.
Yeah. So basically, I did... At the Denver Regional, I ran Strategic Shift, and I never used it because...
Because no one was running Java. That was crazy.
Yeah. I was the only... I'm pretty sure I was the only person that had Java at the Denver Regional.
I think you're right.
And so, yeah, I just never used it because I was like, all right, you don't have any cards, or you have 3 cards and you haven't used any of them, so they're probably not that great. And so it's almost doing you a favor, probably is doing you a favor, to shuffle your cards back in.
Was anyone running Java at the Utah Regional?
Yes. Yep. I played a... I forget his name, but I played a guy who was, he was running Java, IG, Hera Chopper, BT, and a Jawa, I think, an elite Jawa.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's
a cool list.
Yeah, it was great. My Vento ruined his day. I killed Chopper and his Jawa in one activation with Vento, and it was just downhill from there.
Vento's the worst. It's the best.
High rolling Vento is the worst.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Yep.
So Strategic Shift probably doesn't give you that much value anymore.
No, I don't think so. Because most scum lists aren't running Java now. Because they usually run IG, who doesn't need a focus. And then they're running like one set of weak ways. And then like a couple of the other smugglers like Greedo, Vento, Onar. And so... I mean, IG's a lot of points, and your Rebel Care Package is, like, IG and your Rebel Care Package and, you know, Devious Scheme, you're already at, like, half your list. And so it's almost not worth it to put in Jabba until the Ugnaughts, you know, come back, and then you can get 1 million points off their junk droids, but...
Maybe another reason why I should start running Ugnaughts again. This is...
I know. We do need it. We definitely need to test out the Ugnaughts. All right, Steven. Well, Steven or JK, do you have any more thoughts on the Claudite?
I think the regular Claudite could have a home somewhere where you're just running him as Street Rat, where basically you just get those. You have a 10-point mover, and you just run from spot to spot, and you maybe splash him with Intelligence Leak just to have it. You might even just round one, just shoot for the Conspire, and just whatever you get, you get. But realistically, your whole goal with them is run in, do a little bit of unmitigable damage, stab someone, run away, go grab an objective. I mean, their issue is they have fewer hit points, but...
Yeah, it's only two fewer hit points, true. Too. And, like, yeah, like you said, Street Rat, really, you just want that one surge for the Assassin's Blade. The other surges, like, you don't care that much about.
I think you'd have to get your own Conspire to make sure you have the surge for it, but...
Right.
It's a good point, because you won't have your yellow die.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because just really the green, you're 50-50.
Yeah, I mean, if you're focused, you've got a better chance if you're going to spend the focus on that. But also, I mean, the scout, even with the scout form with the regular, you're still, I mean, now you're still guaranteed, what, 5 range?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 5. Yep.
Plus 2. All right. Yeah.
And you're rolling for 7.
Blue green. Yeah, you're probably shooting 7. So, I mean, you could realistically get a few damage off while, if you wanted to, before making him an objective runner with Street Rat.
Yeah, there's only one way you're only getting 5 range with those green blue dice with the surge. There's only one combination out of there that you can get that. So,
yeah. So that actually might be something to try.
I don't know that it's worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, long term, but that's the whole point of this is to question things and see where things are going. But yeah, I've always thought about that.
I will also say that there is nothing that scared me more as a box player than seeing a Claudite on the other side. Because if a Claudite intelligence leaks away my Miracle Worker or my On the Lamb, that is almost game over. So it is against certain lists, like lists that are not built on doing raw damage, but are instead built on card play, they can just wreck shop. I think they might be a little bit overcosted, but if you can get the cards you need, them coupled with hunters who are already dealing insane damage to have control as well as insane damage, that is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if a Claudite on or Intelligence Leaks on the Lamb or Assassinate or Debts Repaid or Sun's, I mean, any of those.
Yeah, like, any of those cards.
They're worth their weight in gold. Like they're essentially your MVP for that game.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I think I definitely want to try out the regular more because I was just thinking about it. Like if he is overcosted, but at 3 points, I think the regular Claudite makes it into most scum lists as a filler. Because their other 3 point thing is like the Elite Jawa. Which if you're not taking the droids, and they've got 5 health. And one big thing I've been looking about recently in list building is wanting to have things with at least 5 health. Just because things with 3 health die to Force Choke. Every time I put a unit in my list recently, I just look at it and I say, dies to Force Choke. Like, mm-hmm. Or dies to Force Choke and Tempt. Just done.
Yep, exactly.
Especially any runners, because if you fall into the pit per se,
yeah,
you're gonna take damage.
Yeah, and then Tempt can finish them off in 2 turns.
Yeah,
because you're listed the Utah regionals. You had 2 regular Jawas, right? Or was I just making that up?
Yes, I had 2 regular Jawas.
Yeah, granted that's to get you up to 8 activations.
Yep.
But you could easily switch out those 2 Jawas for a Claudite.
For a Claudite.
And go down to 7. You still have Devious Scheme.
And evade tokens on IG are
that'd be huge.
End life.
Gold. Yeah, that'd be something interesting to try. And I mean, even starting like we said, starting with the Street Rat. Now I have another because I already have Greedo and Vinto, which are like damage and objective runners because they're so fast. And now you have a Claudite, which has 10 move. So now you have 4 units that have 10 or more move. Because you've got IG who can move 12, Greedo, Vinto, Claudite. That's a lot of speed.
That's insane. That is a lot of speed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, do we have any more concluding thoughts?
No, I think we're good. I'm good. Yeah.
Just right. Play Claudite.
Right, well, then it is. Yeah. There you go. It is an awesome figure. Okay, yeah. It's on to my choice. Actually, I wanted to say just really quick. So Steven brought up when he was talking about the health of the Claudite for its cost. I think everyone kind of has their own different rule of thumb in terms of a figure's cost as compared to its health. I like to say you should be, if you're a melee unit and you do not have double your health for your cost, you need to be bringing something really, really awesome to the table in terms of why, because if you're melee, you are going to be really struggle to get off more than 1 or 2 attacks unless you're a super high health figure, just because by the time you're getting into the fray, even if you're covering people, you know, you just have fewer and fewer places to hide as you get close. So I like to say you got to have double the health unless you're going to be getting something awesome. So Vader and Luke, neither of them have double health. They're 12 and 13 cost respectively and have 16 health, but they each have got at least double attack. And Vader also has got the ability to Force Choke, and Luke has got the best card in the game, Son of Skywalker. So when Steven said that the Elite Claudite costs 6 and only has 8 health, that is not, that like falls under the curve, because even if for range figures, I like to say you need to have at least 50%, but realistically, like you should have like 75% more health than like whatever you're costing, unless you're bringing something awesome to the table. And even things like, so Elite Sentries, which a lot of people would say are a little bit costed, they cost 10 to get 16 health. Now they can get 4 attacks, but you know, that's not realistically what you're looking at. So they're not double, but you know, they've only got 66% more. You know, it's like one of those things where you've got, like, once you're there on that line, you got to think, what am I going to do to get more value out of these guys in terms of play style? And I think with Claudites, people write them off because they're too expensive. You know, they die too fast, blah, blah, blah. But you got to think, well, what am I going to do if I want to run this figure in order to get that value out? Because they're costed maybe a little high for what health they've got, but what can I do in order to get more value out of them?
Yeah, and going into that, I think that's an interesting piece of the list-building theory that you have to go into. Because, again, E-Sentries, like, going back to earlier points, you want something in front of them to take damage. And so it's okay to have things that are a little squishy, a little gas can or glass cannon, as long as you have something that you that's going to try and kill them. That was originally why I ran Chewie, like my first Chewie run, and we're going to get a little off topic, but that's fine. Is I was like, what makes Chewie good is that people want to attack him. I'm like, okay, well, if people want to attack him, then what if we run something that people also want to attack? And so then people have to decide what to kill. And like originally I ran Chewie and Luke and Jedi Luke because they both have 16 health. And it's like, you can, like, I'm fine with you killing either one of these because that means you're leaving the other one alive. And if you can do that and start thinking of list building that way, then you're starting to get a good first couple steps into what good lists can be.
Agreed. All right, well, then I'm going to start with my figure. My figure is Ahsoka because Ahsoka is the best. So Ahsoka, actually, it's kind of funny. She kind of breaks the rule that I just said about having double the health for your cost. She is an 8-cost figure, but she only has 12 health. So she's only got 50%. So she even has less than what I would say range figures normally need to have. However, just to go through Ahsoka stats. She is a rebel unit. She is a force user, a leader, and a spy. So those are three great attributes. So what Ahsoka does is she has got her attack pool. It's green, green, blue. So that's a good attack pool. That's Han's attack pool. She surges for Pierce 3, plus 2 damage, and surge to gain a damage token. So it's unlikely, you're never going to not have things to do with your surges. She's got three abilities. One is a special action. It's called Force Leap. And this is how she moves around. It says, Force Leap, place your figure in an empty space within 6 spaces. Next ability is Vigor. At the start of your activation, you may gain 2 movement points or 1 defense block token. And then the last ability is Twin Sabers. While attacking, you may reroll all attack dice or force the defender to reroll all defense dice. So again, she's got a health of 12, speed of 4, she rolls a white die, and she's got this blue-green-green attack pool. Now, Ahsoka is amazing for a lot of reasons. When her card was spoiled, I think it was probably in May or June, I can't remember, I just immediately started, I like printed a card off at Kinko's and just started proxying her in all of our testing games, testing lists out, because I just thought, like, she's going to be it. She's a better Davith, because I had been playing Davith and Spies, and I just thought she is a better Davith. And her strengths are, she's got insane mobility, probably she's the most mobile figure in the game in terms of being able to move and strike. So the great thing about her is, depending on how you position her with Hera getting extra movement and Gideon, it is very tough to put for your opponent to put their figures in places that Ahsoka can't get to. And that is awesome, because if you position her somewhat aggressively, what you can do is you can deny a wide stretch of the board, not in the sense of they can't move figures there, but if they move figures there, they know that they're going to be attacked by Ahsoka. And she's got a great attack. Pierce 3, plus 2 damage, that's all you need. Now, Zillow kind of crimps her style a little bit, because most of the time, she's going to be bombing in, and it's going to be really tough to stack Pierce unless you're running her with things like Alliance Rangers or Jedi Luke or something like that. So your Pierce 3 most of the time becomes a Pierce 1, but the awesome thing is she's got her reroll ability, where let's say she's focused, she's rolling 3 greens and a blue. You're going to expect to see a little over 3 damage and probably 2 to 3 surges. And then what you can do is, depending on whether or not they roll a 3 block or a 1 block, that with the Twin Sabers ability, you can decide, what do I want to do in terms of, do I want to go for a reroll or do I want them to go for the reroll? Obviously, if they roll a 3 block, you have them reroll it, and it's very unlikely that they're going to get that again. So that's the thing. What Ahsoka does is she's got the ability to go long range and punish people who get out of position, and also she's like weak ways where she is not subject to very much variance, because let's say you roll and you attack Jedi Luke and he rolls a dodge, have him reroll it because of your Twin Saber ability. She is just awesome at being able to get guaranteed damage on figures that your opponent is probably trying to protect. She also, her strengths are her attributes. I'm going to talk about those when I talk about her command cards. Her weaknesses are her fragility. Even with 12 health and getting her defense tokens, Ahsoka is going to go down to 2 attacks from most good figures in terms of jet troopers are probably going to be able to kill her in 2, maybe 3 attacks if you're lucky. Weak ways will definitely kill her in 2 attacks. It's just really, really tough for her to stand up to any kind of intense fire. The other thing is her cost. At 8 points for 12 health, that is not it's not the most efficient. And obviously, I think she's worth it for all the reasons I've mentioned, but you can't just toss her in. She's not like a figure that you can just toss in. You can toss her in terms of you don't have to really build your command deck around her, but you've got to really think about how am I going to get value out of this figure that's costing me a little more than she should. So those would be the two things I would say are weaknesses. What she does in lists is gives you a kind of a lone wolf character that you can send off to remove enemy figures that are out of position. So on Jabba's Realm or Jabba's Palace, what I really like to do is if I'm on the non-stair side, I like to push her out near the terminal. So on her side, near the terminal with Hera and Gideon. And from there, she can get almost anywhere with her vigor and her force sleep, including to the enemy terminal. So let's say your opponent has put his officer there and is moving his riot troopers around and his jet troopers around, like into other places on the board in order to start positioning them aggressively. What you can do is at the end of the round is you can send Ahsoka in, bomb her in, kill their officer, and then you know, you think, oh, that's only 2 points, but now what you're doing is you're denying them a command card and you're getting the command card that they would have drawn. And she's just got the ability to do things like that. On Nal Hutta, what she can do is leap over all the difficult terrain and pick off figures in one of the corridors that gets isolated from their friends. And it's just amazing. So she is a really great deep striker. Because of that, she kind of fulfills like a long range component in your lists. Obviously, it's good to stack her with things like Alliance Rangers. Han is kind of a different story, but that's mostly about their positioning and turn order. But it's awesome because if you've got long range figures paired with her, you can just put a lot of pressure on the far side of the board. But she also works well with mid range figures like Smugglers, Lando, Jin, Han, all these figures that are going to be hitting at medium range, because you're just going to be able to put a lot of variable pressure on the board. I've played her with Jedi Luke, and it's awesome. It's a lot of fun. I don't know if they work very well together, just because that's 20 points for two figures, and they've got great mobility, and they're stacking pierces, and they're doing tons of awesome attacks, but it's probably not the best way to spend your points. For command cards, the amazing thing about Ahsoka is she needs zero command cards, and I mean that literally. Like, you do not need to toss in a single command card with her in order for her to be good. But she gets awesome when you give her things like Intelligence Leak, because she's a spy. She can easily eat up, you know, a point or two of damage in order to get rid of a card that you want your opponent to get rid of. She helps with pushing up the value of your comms disruption. Her card, right back at you, it's 1 point, and what it is when you are declared the target of an attack, you deal a damage to the attacker. So you just play the card and deal a damage. But if you're spending a defense token on the attack, you deal 3 damage to the attacker. So you can just, someone's going to declare an attack on you, they only have 2 health left, play right back at you, and it gets rid of them. I think that card is close to an auto-include, just because the ability to get 3 damage on something, it's like a reverse assassinate. It's so awesome. But it's not a must. And then the other 2 cards that I would say you should really think about with her, although they don't work quite as well if she's the only force user, are force push and force rush. So force push is 1 point, and what you do is you play it on your activation, and any small figure within 3 spaces, you can push them up to 2 spaces. That's any figure, and that's, you can push them wherever the heck you want. So what you can do is you can pull Han away from C-3PO, or you can, you know, do any kind of shenanigans that you want in terms of controlling your opponent's positioning. And force rush works similarly, but that's only for Ahsoka. She gets 2 movement points, so she can literally get anywhere. So she's got force push, and this happened when we had the Blackfire, the store kit tournament. I don't think it was a store championship, but that was a few months ago. I was playing against David, and he played force rush with Ahsoka, and turn one, she moved, 13 spaces with force rush, Vigor, Gideon, and Hera. She moved 13 spaces and performed an attack. I mean, like, that's just insane, right? Like, and that's the power of Ahsoka. So, although I would caution against including too many force user cards, because a lot of times with Ahsoka, you've got 2 choices when you bomb her in. You're going to bomb her in, and you're going to pick somebody off, and then you're going to bomb her out. That's not bad, but the other thing to do is bomb her in and then just have her soak up attacks while she goes down. I mean, obviously it's not going to be too many, but if you position her in a way that it makes your opponent sacrifice positioning in order to deal damage to her, then that's fine, right? Like, you're trading pressure and damage in order to move the rest of your figures up while she's done this deep strike. So I would be careful about including, like, all these awesome force rush or all these awesome force user cards, just because you might not be able to get a ton of value out of them. But spy cards are always, always, always good with her. Another amazing card is Tough Luck, because when you force your opponent to reroll his dice, you can then choose to Tough Luck it. It's just awesome. So I am a big fan of Ahsoka. I've, you know, been talking about it for almost a year now, how awesome she is. She is a great figure. She's maybe a little bit overcosted, but I think that if you test her out and try, you know, just tossing her into lists, you will find that she is able to do a lot of things that other figures can't do. She's a lot of fun.
Ahsoka is one of the few figures that round one, if my opponent has it, I have to change the way I play. Essentially, there's no, like, I mean, Vader to a certain extent, because you need to watch out for force chokes. Realistically, I mean, outside of Nalhutta, where you're just, you're watching someone, you know, they can shoot across the whole map, but round one, like with Rangers or whatever, but Ahsoka, no matter what the map is, and this is one of the things, if you haven't played against Ahsoka from the start, you do not expect what happens, because you're like, okay, no one's really around me, I'm going to run this smuggler out to nowhere to go get this objective, and Ahsoka jumps in, 8 points, kills him, starts the round, jumps back, and you just lost all your advantage for this whole thing. It's a unique pressure that Ahsoka can put on.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's awesome.
As a general rule, I just always... 10 spaces from Ahsoka is dead. For the majority, for running Scum Hunters, like for anything but IG, 10 spaces from Ahsoka and you're dead. Like she one-shots a Weequay, she one-shots Greedo, she one-shots Vinto, like if she's rolling well.
Well, and if she's focused, that's the awesome thing about Ahsoka, is if Ahsoka's focused, she, yet like Steven's saying, she can one-shot a Weequay. She can one-shot Greedo, and Vinto is who I always... That's my target with Ahsoka, is I want to maybe put a damage or two on him if I can, but realistically, like, I'm just going to wait till I can send Ahsoka after him, and then she's going to go kill him, because it's tough to one-shot him. I mean, if she's focused, it's possible, but tough. But the ability to get Vinto wherever he's at on the board is just huge.
Yeah.
I did a slippery target away from her. At the Utah regional, they so he force rushed, took vigor, force leaped right in front of Han, and I was just slippery targeted back one step, and then Han took his end of round shot on her. Just if you're playing Ahsoka, make sure you're smart, and I would recommend counting your spaces, because you don't want to take four steps and then force leap. What you want to do is you want to force leap and then take your movement points, just in case things like that happen for any reason whatsoever. I mean, everything's differently. Every situation is different, of course, but that scenario is 100% out there. And I think you're going to see a lot more slippery target played nowadays, because it can change everything.
Yep. There's a lot of melee units that are doing a lot of damage. I would also say if your Ahsoka is... What you want to do with Ahsoka is, because there's a card that ruins everyone's day, and it also ruins Ahsoka's day, and that's On the Lamb.
Yep.
Because if you send Ahsoka, you deep bomb her in to, you know, kill somebody, you roll awesomely with your focus attack, and then they On the Lamb. Now you've got an out there Ahsoka who hasn't done anything, and she's just going to die.
Yeah.
So what I like to do is if I'm playing against smugglers, I mostly want to just pick around the edges in terms of, like, what are units on the perimeter outside of their core damage area, and go for them. Because even then, if they On the Lamb, that's fine, because Ahsoka is not overly exposed. So that's just something to think about in terms of, I guess you do that with all of your units anyway in terms of exposing them to damage. But like with Ahsoka especially, if you want to get value out of her, you don't want to waste her attacks. So,
and if Han On the Lambs against Ahsoka, he still gets to shoot her.
That's the worst.
He can just step back and then shoot her in the face.
Yeah, it is the worst. Absolute worst.
Yep.
I wish that force push allowed you to do like an interrupt where like they move away and you move them back and then, you know, you can keep the strike on, but they don't allow us to do that. So, but anyway,
those darn rules
are the worst. So anyway, that is, I wanted us to have this podcast episode as kind of a way to talk about some unique perspectives that each of us has in terms of list building. I think nobody would say that the units we've talked about are top tier. We're not talking about IG, we're not talking about Vader, we're not talking about Han. But there are ways to play each of the figures we've talked about that will fill particular play styles in terms of if you want to make your hunters even more unfun for your opponent, Clawnites are a great way to go. Yeah, exactly. That's Steven, right? If you're a misanthrope and you want your opponent to cry as you intelligence leak away their debts repaid, Clawnites are a great way to go. So while people might say, oh, they're not good, you know, yeah, they might not be good at in certain ways, but if you play them and you know how to get value out of them, you can really do some awesome things with them. And I would say the same thing with Elite Sentries and with Ahsoka. So we just wanted to use this as kind of a way to jumpstart thinking about units that don't see play in terms of like not everywhere, but are good and could see more play. So
yep.
You guys have any concluding thoughts?
I think the point of this is when you're playing, if you're kind of new to this, play with things that you enjoy. Look at things you want to do. Absolutely. Like there's a bunch of bad deployment cards, but, and there's, you know, if you look at regionals, you're gonna start looking at lists and realize that there's only like 12 deployment cards that actually win regionals, with the exception of a handful of random fillers here and there. But if you really try and you just want to make a character work, give him a shot, play around with it, and try different things. Like, don't just go, oh well, he's a smuggler, so I just gotta throw Han in there, and that's how it works. Try different things. Try, you know, way too many deployments. Try too few deployments. Do these different things to see how these characters tick and how they work. Because I think there's a handful of characters that just aren't getting play that are better than what we kind of give them credit for.
Give us an example.
I think Jared, for example.
Yeah, that's a great example.
Yeah, I mean, that being said, it's a lot of these things, they fall into a different niche, and it's kind of point issues, where right now Jin is really, really hot. Like, tons of people are using Jin. Jin really wasn't hot about a year ago. Like, nope. People played her a little, but she wasn't this thing that's now, like, you're running Rebels and you're trying to find a way to fit Jin in there because she has so much control. I think Jared has that same option. Because just like Ahsoka, he can move 7 and take an attack, and he is consistent. Yes. Like, he does 4 to 5 damage every attack. Like, yep. That's just what he does, and there's nothing else to it. And he can run out there, and he can get objectives. He can kind of do these different things. He's a spy. He has all these different traits that make him interesting, but he just doesn't fit right now in any of these top-tier lists. But I think he's really good, and one day I think people are going to start figuring out different ways to use him. I mean, all three of the Rebel heroes, Jared, Kotun, and Drakata, all have different things that make you go, if they had XYZ, they become these better units. And that's to go along with your point, the idea of the list of this podcast is to look at these things hopefully a little differently.
Steven, you have anything to add?
No, I don't think so. Just one unit that I haven't actually ever played with him, but the Grand Inquisitor, every time I look at him, I mean, he does feel like he's overcosted, but he just seems so cool to me. Like, the fact that you can, he's got his saber throw and he's got surge for cleave 3, so you could just like run up and be like, cool, you know, deal a couple damage over here, 3 damage onto whatever other unit. But I mean, he's got 15 health, rolls a white die, and is 9 points, so
yep. I think that the problem with him is that he's probably one of the best cleanup characters in the game. Probably the best cleanup character in the game, just because there is no way to mitigate the damage that he's going to do to you. He's going to pierce or he's going to negate your dodge. I mean, there's just nothing else to say about that. But the problem is, for 9 points, you need 9 points to do more than cleanup. But I think he's a perfect example of a figure that is overcosted and not played, but in the hands of someone who wanted to make him work, could do some serious damage with him.
Agreed.
Yep.
That's an awesome example. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we want to thank JK and Steven for shedding some incredible pearls of wisdom upon our brains. We'd like to thank everybody for the reviews, downloads, all the feedback we're getting. We love it. If you have got any questions, comments, anything, send an email to zionsfinestia@gmail.com. We would love to get you on the Slack channel. We want to thank everyone for listening. Have a good day.
See ya.
Bye.